You may be seated. You may be seated. I'm going to get right into the word here.
Are there any questions?
Okay.
I'm honored to be here. I'm going to share with you. We are officially living in a different time as it pertains to how to best attach the scriptures and nomenclatures to define our current reality in both time and space and this beautiful continuum of our human existence. What do we describe this time? Officially, if you Google it, we are now officially living in the cuckoo for Cocoa Puff season. Every single time you think things can't get crazier, they get crazier. Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore. There is a biblical passage that resonates in my spirit. It is a mandate from heaven for yours truly to just release this wherever I go, especially when I arrive at a church for the first time. Because we're living, spiritually speaking, just like the days of Ahab, Jezebel, and Baal. We are. But this is not a doom and gloom message. I'm in this church because I truly believe we're about to see a generation of Elijahs and Elisha rise up in the name of Jesus, who will shift the atmosphere towards righteousness and justice, truth and love. To a great degree, you know the story, you have this iconic prophet wearing a mantle, so he had merch, he wore the mantle, he was everywhere doing his thing. He was the iconic, legendary Old Testament prophet, the OG. Jesus even cross-referenced him. Amazing. This man confronts moral relativism, cultural decadence, spiritual apathy, ecclesiastical lukewarmness. He confronts social constructs and ideologies that were counterintuitive to the word of God. All of a sudden, having his hashtag, best day ever, right after that, this woman who was evil, she was just evil. Her name was Jezebel. She sends out a message, which today would be a tweet. Jezebel tweeted. Are there any questions? No, it really happened. 1 Kings 19:2. She literally said, and I'm reading verbatim, "May the God strike me and kill me if by this time tomorrow I haven't killed you." She sent out a message to the prophet, the number one voice from heaven on the planet for his generation. Jezebel comes along and says, "In 24 hours, I swear by my gods, you will die." She prophesied. Sounded like a prophecy. You got to juxtapose 1 Kings 19:2 with 2 Kings 2:11. As they were walking along, referencing Elijah and Elisha, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared. Drawn by horses of fire, it drove between the two men, separating them. And Elijah was carried into a whirlwind into heaven. I want to speak to you on the subject matter. Jezebel's tweet, "When heaven starts it, hell cannot stop it." We're going to do this just maybe one time, two times today. Touch the neighbor you like the most and tell him, "When heaven starts it, hell cannot stop it." Now touch the neighbor you barely tolerate and tell that neighbor, "When heaven starts it, hell cannot stop it." Hell cannot stop it. I talked to you about the fact that Elijah had a mantle. That mantle was the primary descriptor. It's what identified, separated him, distinguished him, marked him as the iconic prophet of his generation. The mantle. We all have a mantle. Every single person here, we have spiritual authority. We have a mantle. We have an infusion from heaven. But we just don't wear it. It's not a physical coat. Praise be God. It's not just on us. Our spiritual authority lives inside of us. You have received the anointing, 1 John 2:27, who is the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And we are about to see people with mantles rise up as societal architects and cultural reformers, and we're about to shift this nation towards righteousness and justice, truth and love in the mighty name of Jesus. And here it is. If you're taking any notes, and good luck with that. The mantle that we have is the mantle of the Spirit. Somebody say the mantle of the Spirit. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah. He ran all the way, 1 Kings 18:46. He had that mantle. Again, that mantle juxtaposing it to what Ahab, Jezebel, and Baal represented. Who was Ahab? Ahab was the king of Israel. He was what we call in California a mucho malo hombre. Ahab, The spirit of Ahab, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listen carefully. The spirit of Ahab is alive and well. It's alive and well, robbing love, killing joy, and destroying peace. Spiritually speaking, Ahab represents forces with access and authority that attempt us to sacrifice truth on the altar of political and cultural expediency. In 1 Kings 16:34, Ahab was the only king who had the audacity to give permission to rebuild the walls of Jericho. I'll repeat that. No other king ever attempted to rebuild what God brought down. Ahab was so wicked, he came along and said, let's rebuild what God brought down. That's happening in America right now as we speak. That spirit of Ahab is trying to rebuild walls that God already brought down. Walls that separate us via the conduit of the color of our skin, our pigmentation, gender, even politics. There is this amazing attempt by Ahab to just alienate us and divide us in perpetuity, perpetual fragmentation. Even in the church. Why? Because if we are divided, we can't accomplish. We can't advance the kingdom of heaven. So with that being said, this may be not a popular message, and I may not get invited back, which is okay. I live in California. I go through a lot more. So there it is. I just want to remind you, for that Ahab spirit trying to divide us in perpetuity, I want to remind you, there is no such thing as a white church, a black church, a brown church, a yellow church, or a red church. There's only one church. It is the church of Jesus Christ. And the gates of hell shall not, will not, may not, cannot ever prevail against the church. Jezebel was his wife, and she was nasty on steroids. The spirit of Jezebel is alive and well, persecuting, prosecuting, and attempting to silence the children of the cross. Jezebel represents the manipulative, sexually coercive, perverse, corrupt cultural spirit with all intentionality to kill prophetic voices, to construct Asherah poles in order to marginalize the oracles of righteousness and justice. A spirit that, according to the book of Revelation 2:20, even good Christians may be guilty of unfortunately tolerating. For this one thing I have against you, you have tolerated the spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Baal is alive and well, demanding that truth and children in and out of the womb be sacrificed on the altar of the false. I'm gonna say this, and I'm passionate about this. I'm living it in California. There is a spirit coming after our children and our children's children. I'm gonna say that one more time. There is a spirit like never before. Hell released all the Krakens to come after our children. There is something coming after our children. No conspiracy theory, no hyperbole. Baal is coming after our children. We need Elijahs and Elijahs to rise up. We don't need more kumbaya or comfortable Christianity. I might get in trouble, but we need to take a minute away from preaching about the blessing and the breakthrough. And with spiritual authority, we need to rise up and rebuke every devil and tell Satan, get your hands off our children.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
I'm going to do that one more time. Get your hands off our children in the name of Nevertheless, here's a deep seminary endorsed, biblically contextualized Hebrew exaggerated phrase. It's the phrase that says the following. Here it is. All the years of seminary for this, don't drink the Kool-Aid. What does that mean? Let me calm down here for a moment. I don't care what you're reading on Facebook, Instagram, X, it should be Twitter, Threads, YouTube, what you watch on ABC, NBC, CBS. We don't discriminate here. Univision y Telemundo. I don't care what you watch on CNN, Fox, MSNBC, you down with OPP. I don't care what you're watching. I don't care. The most powerful spirit in Louisiana and in America and on this planet today is not Ahab. The most powerful spirit on the planet is not Jezebel. The most powerful spirit on the planet is not the spirit of Baal. The most powerful spirit in 2023 is still the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. If you believe it, praise like you have that spirit. If you believe it, shout like you have that spirit. If you believe it, pray like you have that spirit. Live like you have that spirit. Forgive like you have that spirit. Act like you have that spirit. Love like you have that spirit. It is not by might nor by power, but by my. Zechariah 4:6, where that spirit is present, there is freedom. I said there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17, there is power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we are to be driven by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Galatians 5:16, we are to be filled with that Spirit, not drunk with wine. Ephesians 5:18, we are defined by that Spirit. The same identical Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. Romans 8:11, we are about to see more people come to Jesus than ever before, because that Spirit is still moving. Oh, are there any questions? Number two, it is the mantle of drought, fire, and rain. Somebody repeat after me, drought, fire, and rain. In 1 Kings 17 and 18, he carried that mantle when he unleashed the drought, 1 Kings 17:1, when he prayed down fire, 1 Kings 18:38, when he proclaimed, here comes the rain, 1 Kings 18:41. Drought, fire, and rain. It serves as a rubric of what we go through in life. I don't want to be presumptuous. If you've been through at least one drought in your life, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, health-wise, be it in your career, in your calling, with your children, if you've been through at least one drought in your life, a difficult season, things were not growing, it was challenging, raise one hand. One drought. If you've been through a couple of droughts in your mind, in your life, raise both hands. If you've been through so many droughts you've lost, be honest, account. Raise both hands and a foot. If you've been through so many droughts, if I Google the word drought right now, the algorithm will automatically take me to your Instagram account. We've all been through droughts. Don't tell me you've never been through a drought. We've all been through a season. We all go through a season. We have to go through to get to. The God of the process is the same God of the outcome. And there are people that want to jump from drought to rain without ever going through the fire. And we all have to go through the fire to get to the rain. What is the fire season? Yes, the fire makes you shout and dance, praise be the Lord, but it's not the primary objective. The fire of God makes you kneel down in repentance. The fire of God is a sanctifying fire. It is a purifying fire. It makes you uncomfortable. The fire of God is when he's take things away from inside of you, attitudes, behaviors, mindsets. When he just pivots things inside of you, it's that sanctifying, purifying fire. And on many occasions, he will remove people from around you that would have held back the fulfillment of his purpose in your life. If you've been through your drought and you've been through your fire, I need you to put a smile on your face. It only means that you and your family are about to experience abundant rain. If it's you, if it's not you, you're good. But if it's you, open up your mouth and shout, here comes the rain. Tell your neighbor, here comes the rain. Here comes the rain. It is the rain of Ezekiel 34, 26 of Acts 3, 20. It is the refreshing rain. And by the way, those that prayed with you in the drought deserve to dance with you in the rain. Number three, it is the mantle of speaking truth with love. What does that mean? Here comes the prophet. He has his mantle. He has the moment. He's had enough. He's tired of seeing God's children deviate from that which God calls holy and righteous. So he has this clarion call, this convocation of Mount Carmel. It's a Netflix series. It's an episodic. It's amazing. He calls them in. The moment. Bring the people. He looks at Ahab. God's children are there on top of the mount. And Elijah says, it's time for you to make up your mind. Who will you serve? Will you serve their God, Baal? Or will you serve the God of our fathers? 1 Kings 18:21, read it. It says that God's people had to make a choice. And guess what they voted on? No, nothing. They refused to take sides. I'm going to drop the mic and sit down now for about 5 minutes. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. I'll repeat that for the hearing impaired. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. You are what you tolerate. In your life, in your mind, in your body, in your spirit, in your atmosphere, in your home, in your marriage, with your children, in your children's children, in your generation, you are what you tolerate. Truth must never be sacrificed on the altar of political or cultural expediency. There is no such thing as comfortable Christianity. And number five, you got to line up your eschatology or your missiology. What does that mean? Pastor Sam, you're preaching about revival and renewal and people coming to Jesus and light overcoming darkness and the prophetic being greater than the pathetic. Oh, that sounds great. But reality is things are going to get darker. Christ is coming. While we are waiting for Jesus to come down, Jesus is waiting for his church to stand up. Truth. We must speak truth with love. I want to hear, listen carefully. Again, this will get me a little bit, not for the purpose of getting me in trouble, but it's truth talking. If all we do is teach and preach love, that doesn't happen in this church. If all we do is love exclusively, we're nothing more than California hippies. Someone's about to fall off a cliff, and you're here, and you see them, and all you do is, I love you! It does nothing. If all we do is speak truth, we're mathematicians. The moment we speak truth in love, truth with love, and truth for love, we change the world. The truth about Jesus being the only way. John 14:6. What does that mean? He is the only way. There are not five ways to heaven, four ways, three ways, two ways. There's only one way to be saved. His name is Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of truth. It's that reality. The truth about God's design for the family and marriage. The truth about holy sexuality. The truth about every single subject matter laid out and undergirded by the word of God, validated by both faith and science, the truth. I was called some years ago. Let me explain to you my background. I'm from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, originally. Bethlehem, that's why I have a messianic complex. One person from Bethlehem, bless your heart. So I'm from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I'm a Penn State guy, went to Lehigh University. I preach like Kirk, think like Spock. So I believe mathematics is God's language. I still do. Calculus, I'm a faith and science guy. It speaks to the reality. The universe and quantum physics really affirms our belief in a divine designer that is beautiful. You can't deny it. So God is real, ladies and gents. The mathematical probability of you having this conversation with me right now is just God is so legitimately real. I grew up with that inclination for mathematics and science. And then my parents, they're not pastors, but they obligated me to go to church. My mom gave me a choice, go to church or die. I made the right choice. Grew up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I attended an Assembly of God church. I'm about 12, 13 years old, going to that church. This guy named Bernie DeLo from Teen Challenge Ministry, Rehersburg, Pennsylvania, David Wilkerson's ministry. I'm an 80s kid. He comes into our church for the first time. He comes in here. Now, I'm obligated to go to church. I don't believe in any of it. People getting, like, they fall on the carpet. Like, why are you falling on the carpet? Why? Why? And then people speaking in other languages, like not English, not Spanish, not, it's a different, this tongue stuff. Why? What is that? I would doubt all of that. All of a sudden, this guy comes in and he goes, Holy Spirit, with the choir. Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, that. 80s now. The Lord says there's a young boy, young man named Sammy in this church. By the way, if you ever want to give a word in a Hispanic church, all you have to say is God says there's a word for Jose or Maria. All right, can you miss? No. Doesn't even have to be God. You're not going to miss, right? But Sammy, not, you know, I'm the only Sammy in my church. So Sammy, my pastor says, ahí está el muchacho. Which means what? Ahí está el muchacho. So they make me go up. I'm 12, 13 years old. I'm walking up in the middle aisle, which would traumatize Generation Z forever. And they would have triggers forevermore. I'd be coming up here, and I'm coming up, and I'm going, if this rapture stuff is for real, oh, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. So I'm coming up. I go right here. The guy looks at me and says, oh, Sammy, the Lord says, you look like a little boy, but he sees you as a man. Everything I'm doing right now was laid out to me on that day. Again, from a mathematical perspective, the mathematical probability of what he laid out coming to fruition, not in some sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy or Hawthorne effect. The fact that I never made a call on her, he looks at me, says everything from the preaching to the ministry to the, all of that. There was a young lady in the audience right here seated who saw it. I was about 12 years old. She was right here a little bit older than I. She was seated and she saw it. She said, if it's true, I'm going to wait for that boy to grow up and marry him. That's my wife of 33 years. So if you're single and God gives somebody else a word, I'm kidding. So this is the way he concludes it. He says, a couple of hundred people, we had him on television, on TBN and Daystar recently, so you could watch the interview on YouTube. Bernie Gillow, he says, oh, wow, the Lord says, you, Sammy, will be praying for presidents of the United States of America. That's how I became an advisor for George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Donald Trump. I never made a call, never sent an email. I never walked around going like, God gave me a word, I have to be an advisor to the president. No, because God's promises are yes and amen. Why am I telling you this? Whatever God has promised you and your family and your children's children, when heaven starts it, hell cannot stop it. How many believe he will fulfill his purpose in our lives? Psalm 138, verse 8. I believe that for you and your family member. So that's how it, what does it have to do with speaking truth with love? Fast forward, after advising George W. Bush, Barack Obama brought me in. Again, not that I don't have to vote for them in order to advise them. Some of you are already judging me. Repent. So I do have a biblical rubric that I confine to. I will only vote for candidates that support the following rubric. And I will never sacrifice that because my integrity is much more important than my influence. So George W. Bush brings me in. And then after that, Barack Obama has me participating in his inaugural prayer service at St. John's Episcopal Church. And so I'm here with Barack Obama and in that service. And I participate, but it's a private ceremony, the one before the big stage, right? Myself, Rick Warren, Yolanda Adams, Charles Blake, T.D. Jakes. So we do that, right? So then years later, fast forward, right after 2016 election, I get this call. I'm driving with my wife from San Francisco to Sacramento. We went to, my parents are from Puerto Rico. So we were eating mofongo in a restaurant. Mofongo is a great thing, by the way. You crush the plantains, you put shrimp, you put garlic, lots of garlic. Very anointing. Just don't talk to someone. They will fall back. They will get slain. But anyway, so we're driving back home. We're San Francisco, Sacramento. It's after the 2016 election, and we're en route, and I get this call, unknown number, on my Bluetooth. I usually don't pick it up because I know it's probably the IRS, so I ignore it. because you don't, unknown number. Holy Spirit prompts me, no joke, and says, pick it up. So I pick up the call. I'm driving on Route 80, home to Sacramento. Boop. Said, we're looking for Reverend Rodriguez. I really thought it was the IRS then, right? Or it could be my cousin Paco from the Bronx. We all have a cousin. No, we don't. Know your audience. Okay. So I validate it. This is what it is. We're calling you from the Senate Inaugural Committee, the Presidential Transition Team. Reverend Rodriguez, yes, sir. The president-elect would like you to participate in his inauguration. So I'm looking at my wife, and we're like, wow, what an honor. I mean, we're driving, so I'm going like, I go, sir, I'm honored. Tell the president-elect that I am really blessed and honored. What would you like me to do? Participate, he says. I go, yes, wow, I really am honored. What would you like me to do? He says, participate. I'm trying to get a feel. Is it the private one, the public one? Wait. So I go, would you like me to pray? He says, yes. Would you like me to read scripture? He says, why not? As a good preacher and pastor, there was a third question I wanted to ask, but I didn't. Would you like me to raise the offering? But I didn't.
Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Your family mess is about to become God's miracle. Your health mess is about to become God's miracle. Your financial mess is about to become God's miracle. Your generational mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mental, emotional mess is about to become God's miracle. Your mess is about to become God's miracle. Can you come in agreement with me that America's mess is about to become God's miracle? I wrote a book called Your Mess, God's Miracle, from the narrative embedded in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 9. It's when Jesus healed the blind man, and he did so in a very unorthodox manner. What did he do? He took his spittle, he spit on the ground, he made mud out of it, and he placed it on a blind man's eyes. Did you hear that? What an unorthodox process. This book will empower you with the following truth. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. I will repeat that. The process is temporary, the promise is permanent. Out of all the books I've written, this is my 11th book. This is the number one message thus far in all of my ministerial and writing trajectory. It's so anointed, it's so filled with God's power and spirit, it will bless your life. I promise you, you read it and you will see by faith through Christ, your mess becoming God's miracle. So go right now. This book comes out April 6th, but there's a sense of urgency in the next few days for you to pick up a copy. So go on Amazon.com, pre-order. Your book will arrive the week of April 6th, but it behooves you, it compels you to get your copy today. And watch this. If you DM me a screenshot of the purchase of the book, my team has been instructed to randomly pick from the DMs individuals who have pre-ordered this book to send them copies of my previous books. You may be receiving 2 copies, 1 copy, 3 copies of books I've already written. Many of them became bestsellers for the glory of God. It will bless your life. So pre-order right now, Amazon.com. Go ahead, let's do this. Your mess, God's miracle.